You are tuned into the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Like, review, or share this episode with those you love and lead.
And it's been a moment of some suck. You know, when you're not eating, man, you face a lot of things, man. You face a lot of things. Yeah, massive weight loss being one. It wasn't as drastic this time, which I'm thankful for. But you really come to the end of yourself very quickly. You know, you get out your own way. But I can tell you this, not eating is not going to kill you. It's been the longest I've fasted. Started January, I think my brother left on the 5th. So that's when I started. So just water. It sucked. But it didn't suck as much. You know, I had family taking care of me, making sure I drink my water, making sure I have my electrolytes. I think the more love around me really kept me going in a different way. But what it also helped me to understand and clarify is that many of us have lost the ability to see ourselves. We've lost the ability to see ourselves. You know, I was sharing with someone, he was asking me, why do you fast so much? Why do you fast so long? Why is fasting important? And I said to them, if I told you the food made you do it, most people would doubt me. Most people would look at me and laugh. Most people would say, no, that they just did that because they did it. But if I said the drugs made them do it or the alcohol made them do it, you'd believe me. You'd find that more believable that somebody was high, so they did something out of their character. Somebody was drunk or drinking too much alcohol, and so they were moving outside their character. But if I said the Cheez-Its made you do it, if I said the donuts made you do it, the sugar in your coffee made you do it, the caffeine made you do it, you would doubt me. And as someone who hasn't been eating, I'm telling you, it's the food. You don't have to believe me. I just challenge you to find a moment where you can get off some of the foods that you're on, especially the processed ones, and see what changes in your life. Because I know what has changed in mine. And I'm going to challenge you guys to find moments where you can turn your plate down, even if it's just 12 hours, 10 hours, 24, if you can go that long, and find out more about who you are. Because just like alcohol, just like cocaine, heroin, all types of different drugs, there are influences in your life, and food is one of the biggest ones. Food is one of the biggest ones. So I want to challenge you guys to take ownership in that area of your life, take back your health, take back your nutrition, and make you a priority. All right, guys, I'm going to share my screen. We're going to go a bit quick because I want to open things up to you guys to hear from you. Let me figure this out really quickly. So, all right. So what we are going to quickly discuss is starting from this premise that you are enough, that you are enough. The question on the screen asks, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And it seems so simple, but most people struggle with that. You ask people who they are, they tell you their name, like they name themselves. Most people didn't name themselves. My parents gave me my name. So that's not necessarily who I am. And we kind of talk around who we are by describing what we do, some of the things we've taken part in, some of the things that we've accomplished. But at times, again, that's not enough. But you are enough. So who you are is such a significant question, because if you can answer that for yourself, you can walk into your destiny boldly, because you will feel that you're enough. You will know that you're enough, and you will move as you are enough. And that's super important for us to dive into. So we want to go deep there. In finding who you are, you have to be consistently thinking about, what do you want your life to look like? What do you need your life to look like in these next 30 days? What are some of the things you're working on? What are some of the things that are important to you? Here in the G, we practice the core four. The core four is your mind, health, balance, and wealth. Balance being relationship, wealth being all money management, to include growing your wealth, investing, etc. So you need to be asking yourself consistently, where can you improve? And as I ask myself that, and I've been working through this with some coaching clients, one of the things that we have to get back to doing in the journey to who we are is we got to educate ourselves. Easiest way to do that is to read. So in who we are, let's talk about our reading list. And for y'all, let's be real. I know y'all are busy, so I want to challenge y'all to kind of do the audiobook boy if you can. We have some amazing books, and all these books have affected my life in varying ways. And I challenge you guys to find the audio versions of these books. And a lot of the audio versions of these books are available on YouTube, on different platforms, Audible, Libby, if you have Libby. And again, these are books that have really been tested by the world. A Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren is the best-selling nonfiction book of all time. So again, that's a challenge. You know, it has pushed on many people to go deeper with what their purpose is and to be driven by their purpose. The Alchemist, of course, by Paulo Coelho, has sold over 65 million copies, you know, and in parable form, it just helps us look at the journey of life, love, living boldly, and truly embracing a vision for our life that no one else sees and no one else agrees with, but knowing we have to go on that journey anyway. And I think many of us, especially being on a call like this, we have decided to go on a journey that many didn't believe in, but as they see the results, they benefit from it. And those who can stay, they truly are blessed by living in the change that we actually are in today's world. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. This book was written in 167 BC. Now, very older work, but what I love about reading meditations, and I do it about once a year, this Roman emperor and philosopher and general truly came from a place of, how can I be a better person for those I lead? Consistently, super, super important was that word in his life, being consistent. One of the best things I've learned about Marcus Aurelius was he was considered a great man, and he had many victories for the Roman Empire. And when he would return to Rome, he would be celebrated in massive parades. And one of the things he did was he paid someone to walk next to him while he was being cheered, and people were throwing roses at his feet and gold coins at his feet. He paid someone to walk next to him and say, "You're only a man. You're only a man." At every second of that procession. Why? Because he did not want what was being said to him to take him out of his character. And at times, without knowing it, people are hyping us and making us believe we're more than what we are. So that was a powerful moment for me. And it's something that I really enjoy, because at all times of our life, being humble is something that we have to consider. Now, the bonus reading, if you don't know who Charlemagne the God is, he's an amazing award-winning radio host, and he's been through a lot in his life. And his book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It, was something that challenged me. One of the things that Charlemagne talks about, he says it's a book about lessons of his life, to include a lot of the wisdom and advice that he was given. He said in his early life, he got in a lot of trouble. He was a troubled youth, as they would say. But he said he had to own that. And as he owned all of his stuff and truly went and got therapy, went and got help, he said he started to see the real him emerge. He says we all have privilege, but we have to tap into it. And if we don't tap into our privilege, then we can't use it to level up. Something else I like that he says, because if you watched any of his interviews, you've seen him giving people Donkey of the Day, because he's practicing what he's preached. He's lost jobs because he's given his perspective the way he gives his perspective. But he kept doing it because he realized that was his truth. And he says, if you own your truth, at some point, the audience that needs to hear from you will gravitate toward you. Something else he says that I think is very important. He says, give people their full credit, even the credit to be stupid. He's like, when people do stupid things, tell them that you notice it was stupid. He's like, because we don't tell enough people that what they're doing is stupid, it perpetuates. More people do it versus when you say, bro, that was the stupidest, dumbest thing you could have ever done. Now everyone can learn from that and grow from that. And that's something that Charlemagne is very famous for. And I think it's something that he challenges all of us to aspire to, because it's real. If you notice it was dumb, chances are everybody else noticed that it was stupid as well. So if you were looking for some books to add to your reading list, add to your library, as always, I suggest the audio version because I know you have busy lives, but I really believe the information in these books, very easy to read books, will challenge you to change in many ways. All right, now we're sticking with who you are. But before we get there, here's a concept we need to start with. When you look into a mirror, do you look at yourself or for yourself? Do you look at yourself or for yourself? And the reason I'm asking this is because most of us don't realize that when you look into a mirror, you're seeing your reflection, you're not seeing yourself. So you're not seeing yourself as I would see you if I was standing in front of you. You're seeing a reflection of yourself. You're seeing a mirror image of yourself. You're not seeing your, quote, true self. The only way to see your true self in a mirror is to you use a true mirror. And I can drop some links in the chat so you can learn more about a true mirror. And a true mirror reflects back to you exactly how you look to others, not the way you see yourself in a mirror that only shows your reflection. And the reason that's important is because without knowing exactly what you look like, you always have a distorted view of who you are. And you can't afford to have a distorted view of who you are. Why? Because if you can't see yourself, if you can't know yourself, finding out who you are becomes just a bit more difficult. But if you can see yourself, then you can know yourself. And knowing yourself allows you to truly embrace all that's in front of you and truly be capable of accomplishing everything that's in your heart to accomplish. What makes that significant is these three ideas: perception, reality, and then the strongest imagination. Perception, reality, and the strongest concept is your imagination. As I describe with the mirrors, most of us only have a perception of ourselves. We only perceive who we are. We're not really understanding and seeing who we are. When I got trained on this, it was incredible to see how many people was struggling with this concept. When I ask most people what their weight is, they give me their perception. They say, I weigh 200 pounds. But if you're not stepping on the scale, you don't know that to be true. So you're giving me a perception. You're not giving me your reality. If you're stepping on a scale and I ask you, how much do you weigh? And you look at the scale, the measurement device, and you say, I weigh 200 pounds, then you have proof that you weigh 200 pounds. You're living your reality. Why is that important? Because once you know where you really are, then you can activate your imagination and start preparing for where you're going. Because everything that's tangible starts where? In the imagination. Somebody imagined my computer before they built it. They imagined it, they designed it, and then they built it. Everything that you're working towards, you have to get to your imagination and then take the steps from what you see on the inside. But if you start from your perception and not your reality without knowing it, that's how you hustle backwards. If you keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again, it might be that you're starting with your perception and you're not starting with your reality. Every one of my coaching clients, they had to turn some things in today. They had to turn in a new DISC assessment. They had to turn in their new updated for March credit scores, and they had to turn in their goals for the month. And with every coaching client, I push them from standing in their perception to facing their reality. Because once you know where you are, you can activate your imagination and see more clearly where you're going. But you can't get there from where you perceive that you are. You have to know where you are. If your credit score is a 700 and you want to get to 850, you need to know it's a 700 and have the reasons why it's a 700, the reality. So then you can start to imagine the life you will live when your credit score is at 850. If you're at 200, pounds and you want to get down to 180, again, you need to know exactly where you are. You need to know what's working, what's not working. Because you could be doing things in nutrition that's counterbalancing your goals because you perceive some things. And we have to be humble enough to measure so that we know where we actually are. So don't guess where you are in your relationship. Ask who you're with. How are we doing in our relationship? Don't guess where you are in your finances. Go look at your bank account. Go look at your debt if you have debt. Go look at your credit score. Why? So you know exactly where you are. So then you can start imagining better. Because if you can't activate your imagination, if you can't develop your imagination, you're going to stay stuck. And you're going to stay repeating some habits and choices that no longer serve you. So you need to start pushing beyond how you perceive yourself to be. You need to embrace your reality, but you don't stay there. You need to activate your imagination and then take the steps that show up because you see more and you can become more. Super important. Now, before we open things up, I want to give you three ways to develop your imagination, because that's what you're going to use to build a life that you need to live in. That's what you're going to use to make March matter. That's what you're going to use to visualize and actualize what you want to be and become. And these steps are so simple, but most people struggle to do them. Step one is reading. Step two is writing. And step three is visualization. Now, that's why I started with some books for us to read. Why? Because if you can read, what happens when you're reading is you train your imagination. As you read those words create pictures in your head. And the more you can do that process, the more you can now imagine your life being better. You can imagine your relationships improving. You can imagine your health improving, your finances improving. You start to get clarity around who you are, and most importantly, who you're not. Equally important, who you are and who you're not. So reading is a huge step, and it's step one in developing your imagination. Step two in developing your imagination, I think it's vital, is writing. You see it, let's write it down. What are those goals? What are those timelines? What are those benchmarks that you have to hit along your way? Is there anyone you know who's doing exactly what you decided to have worked on that you can connect with via phone, via text, online, through various platforms, so you can have a conversation with them and take notes, again, writing, so you can get one step closer to living it. Guys, one of the huge steps that you can take each and every month, each and every week, each and every day, journaling. We heard Nick say that. Writing things down, your goals with a timeline on it. I want to lose weight by, I'm fasting till. Write those things down. Share those with others so that they can help hold you accountable. They can pray for you, they can coach you, and they can remind you of what you said. Super important, super important. But lastly, I think this is the piece that many struggle with, visualization. Developing your imagination requires you to visualize. And the way I do it, and there's so many different ways, and if you have a way, when we open the call up, share your way as well. We all have a movie that we know start to finish. When we watch that movie for the first time, it imprinted on our minds, it imprinted on our hearts, and we can truly see that movie just by closing our eyes. And we need to be that vivid and that clear with the movie we have for our own life. If you're buying a home, you need to have a movie in your head about what that home will look like. What will it smell like when you walk in? And as you visualize that in detail, I challenge everyone that I coach to do that for 7 minutes every day. Imagine the life you want to have every single day for 7 minutes, as vividly as your favorite movie. See yourself with the wife of your dreams. See yourself with great health. Look in your bank account in your movie and see the money that you need to be there every time you look in your account. As you see it, you prepare yourself to see it. But if you can't see it within, chances are you will never see it with your physical eyes, because everything we get to experience It always happens on the inside before it happens on the outside. And that's why it's so important that you make visualization, meditation, a part of your daily practice, because that's the level of excellence that the greats strive to. I know meditation is not for everybody, but if you've not tried it yet, I challenge you to try it. Visualization, again, you can do vision boards. You can close your eyes and truly recall the things you want to have in your life. But again, the deep challenge there is, are you going to commit to it? Because I'm telling you, when my life starts to fully align, it's because I spend time seeing and then seeing. I never look for it first. I look within first. And if I look within enough times, then it becomes my habits. It attracts the habits. It aligns the habits. It attracts the people. It attracts the processes. And then all I have to do is walk those out. So again, those three steps to develop your imagination, which I think is the most important part of living as who you are: reading, writing things down, and then using time to visualize who you are and who you're going to become. Now, I'm going to stop my screen really quickly, and we're going to open things up to discuss this a bit. And here's a truth. Many of us have a lot of unprocessed concepts in our head. And what I mean by that is, people have said at some point in your journey who they think you are. And without knowing it, you agreed with them. You agreed with them. They called you a this, a that, a this, a that. And you just agreed with them. You never said to them, that's not who I want to be. Like, even if someone says, I'm a soldier, I'm like, no, I'm not. I was a soldier between these dates. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to still live in that mindset. I had to be a certain way. I had to think a certain way. I had to live a certain way. I'm not saying there's not habits that I still take forward that are useful to my life, but that's not who I am. But without knowing it, we let people define us. We let people distract us from our inner vision. And if you're distracted from your inner vision, you're also distracted from your voice. If you can live more boldly as who you are, everything that who you're supposed to live as needs will show up. It always does. But if you're off course, then what happens is the things that should be showing up, the partnerships, the business deals, the family members, the love, the leadership, it can't find you. Because when it tries to find you, you're not who you're supposed to be. You're who you're pretending to be. As I prepared for this call, something hit me. What did I say? I said, we see it on the inside before we see it on the outside. Right now, when I leave my house, most people are wearing a mask. But here's the truth. People were already wearing a mask. And because we were always showing up wearing a mask, it became a reality. We're really, literally wearing masks. And we got to watch that in our own hearts, because we collectively manifested something because we were showing up fake. Smiling when we wanted to frown. Laughing at terrible jokes. We were so concerned about fitting in that we didn't realize that we were enough. How you see the world is enough, and we need it. How you lead in the world is enough, and we need it. Your voice in the conversation is enough, and we need it. It's challenging to me that we have so little diversity. Sharing that with Coach Kendall today. I was like, one of the things I'm pushing for in a lot of the conversations I get to have, a lot of the businesses and companies I get to train in this season, is uniformity with diversity. There are things that must be uniform, certain business processes. I get it. But anywhere else that you can have diversity, let it happen. I was listening to a group of women share about business and career, and they were talking, they were from the African-American community, and they were talking about how they had to have their hair to get hired. And then once they were hired, they got a little bit more natural, as we say. And then now they want to get promoted, they got to go back to the uniformity. And that was challenging because everyone knows they can perform at a high level. So why do they have to conform? Why do they have to stop being more of who they, why are they being less of who they are and more of who you need them to be? And without knowing it, we stay complicit in these ideas in our own lives. We got to start challenging that, because if you don't, that's how you start losing who you are. Most children know exactly who they are. They can tell you what they like and what they don't like about everything. How are most adults struggling with that? Because we got masks on. I was reading Paul Laurence Dunbar's poem, We Wear the Mask. And every once in a while, I reread that poem because I want to challenge myself to step outside of things that I think we secretly fear, the mask we secretly wear. And what is exciting about that poem, it shows how complicit we are. And that's what we got to pay attention to. If you still have your mask on, if you still show up not being who you really are in every environment, is because that's what you expect from others as well. And when someone truly challenges the status quo, we get a little nervous. Something I heard today that's resonating in my spirit is this lady said in her TED talk, those who are not genuinely themselves will always work for those who are genuinely themselves. And as I played back through my career, played back through my life in business, I was like, that's absolutely true for me. The more genuinely I show up, I tend to typically rise to the top, and I'm usually in charge or the owner of whatever is going on. And when I choose to fit in, toe the line, as they say in the military, then it's easy to overlook me because we all look exactly the same. A part of being who you are is being who you are. What you like, what you don't like, your changes, the way you're staying the same, the things you think about. We hide all of this like it doesn't hurt us. It hurts you to hide yourself. So why are you doing it? Why are you complicit in destroying who you are? I watched a documentary today about Native American children who were taken from their parents and the reservation. And these indigenous people were placed with families of European Americans. And the goal was to assimilate them into European American society. And as these adults are now sharing their experiences on this documentary, they all had something in common: self-hate. They all had times of trying to take their own lives. Because no matter how young they were when they were taken away from the reservation and from their native people and forced to stop speaking their language, they couldn't assimilate into European American society, because while they were loved, and one lady on the documentary says that, she was like, while I was loved, it wasn't who I was supposed to be. And somehow in that process, they all had moments of self-hate, to include self-harm. And some of the things that show up in our lives when we're not being who we are both self-hate and self-harm. When we choose to be who we are, just as we are, speak the way we do, laugh when we find things funny, frown when we didn't get the joke, Leave when we're in an environment that we shouldn't be in. Stay when we should. When we do those things consistently, what we give space for is self-love and self-care. And that's why being who you are is so important. And here's the tough thing for us as men to do. Be who you are without describing yourself based on what you do. Because you only get to do what you do because of who you are. If you can be more of who you are, you attract into your life the people, the processes, and unleash the potential that allows you to close the gap between where you're at, your reality, and where you've always imagined you should be. All right, guys, let's open things up. I know that was a little bit philosophical, but we needed to go there. And we need to challenge our perceptions, because I think that's where a lot of us are lying. We're calling our perception our reality. And if you're doing that, it's spinning wheels in mud, spinning wheels in snow. So if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a visualization technique that's working, please share that as well.
Yeah, I'll start. The part about Marcus Aurelius and the person that he had him say, you're only a man, you're only a man. Bernard, at the beginning of this call, I said, it feels good to say I'm just taking a break. And that's because it feels good to say that to all of you, because you guys know there's a difference between taking a break and needing a push. And when I think about the pandemic being over, and me going back, visiting friends and family, and they're like, how are things going? And me coming off this break being like, I don't have that sweet story where I got this big booking that I know you want to hear. I also don't have this big story that I grew my business to this enormous size that I know you want to hear. And so when I think about that, and I think about you're only a man, I think the challenging part is humbling myself to know that as things, you know, as I start to see people again, that I'm at their level, and I have to, as much as my work matters and my self-care for artists matters, that I'm not this big grandized figure that's saving them. Really, I'm with them, but it doesn't stop me from getting into my ego and wanting to be that person. So that was really helpful to hear.
Oh, Mr. Rossi, powerful. Anyone else?
So I'll certainly say that I needed every single bit of this call tonight. You know, focusing in on who you are and the way that you're showing up is paramount. And while you were going through this, I hopped into my Google Docs and I took a look at some old documents that I had in there, and I had written up a document back in 2017. And within that document, I had essentially written out all of my goals. I have photos in there of the way that I wanted my body type to look. I described my hair length. I got that granular with it. But one of the things that I noticed that worked out extremely well that I would like to share with the brothers on the call today is everything in that document was written in the third person. Everything said Coy or Coy McDermott. Nothing said I. And a lot of times when we're thinking about the labels that are placed upon us, it's typically coming from the outside, or us wanting to appease the outside, or feel as if we've got to do this to impress this individual, et cetera. And they are saying, Coy, you need to, hey, Coy, have you thought of, hey, Coy, you are. So in order to flip that, it's speaking to yourself in the same manner as the world is speaking to you, so that it can get down to the subconscious, so that you can begin to actualize what it is that you want to do. Because if we aren't programming ourselves, we leave ourselves open and susceptible to be programmed by others. So I appreciate every single bit of this call because it really had me reflect and look back and take a look at things that I was doing, things that I could reincorporate, but more importantly, the way that I should be speaking to myself in order to reprogram some of the things that have been running, right? To update the operating system. So yeah, B, I appreciate you.
Come on, solid, guys. Talk to yourself in the third person. If you have one of those documents, one of the things I do is I write a letter to myself 5 years out. You go grab that, you reread it. You know, you read it, see if you were on track, you see where some of the misses are. Come on, guys, that third person boy. If that's not at the top of your notepad, put it at the top, double highlight that, double underline that. That's massively life-changing. Because when you start saying, Bernard, you need to, something about those commands to your subconscious, as Coy reminded us, that gets you going, that gets you out there. Mr. Coleman, go for it, Devin.
A couple things. One eye-opener for me was the disassessment. And the reason why I say that, like, for many years, man, I thought something was wrong with me because I didn't move and act like other people moved and act. And they will make you feel some type of way about it. Like, I'm a 99 turtle. And when I read about what a turtle is, I felt good. And I accepted myself because I knew nothing was wrong with me. I was so excited that I showed other people who questioned certain things about me. Like, no, this is me. I wasn't trying to be funny. This is just like who I am. And then delving deeper into that, I learned who I'm not. And I'm okay, like, telling people, and I practice it every day, like, oh, no, that's not me. That's not for me. Nope, I'm not settling for that. I want to go in this direction because I understand that I know for sure that's not it. While I'm still exploring myself and getting to know myself, I'm pushing the envelope. So normally, you know, we try to go back to our comfort zone. I immediately make a mental note to turn left when I want to turn right, to go in the other direction. I'm going to employ the third person letter thing. And another thing I do is I do use my imagination. There's certain environments that I always want to get to. So in my city, I drive to those environments, park my car and walk through the neighborhoods and people smile, they wave at you. You know what I'm saying? I even experienced it with my daughter. And it's challenging me to, like, start acting and doing the things that those people do to get to that place.
Come on, Mr. Coleman. Come on. Mr. Glover, go for it.
Yeah, it was, I got to a point in my life when I realized every decision I'd made or every choice I'd made up until I was about 20 before my incident, all the surgeries and stuff, was because of something somebody else said. And it was, you know, I wanted to go to a certain type of school, but because my dad was excited, I was excited. And I chose the major I chose because it sounded like, you know, that's what I was supposed to do. A lot of the decision about the sports I played and even the things I thought about and read were typically based on someone else's saying, this is a good idea. And it wasn't until everything was stripped away from me that I was able to become, reach a level of maturity and start making decisions for myself. And Coach Bernard, you reached out to me like, yo, where you been? And the reason I had sort of vacated the premises because I started feeling like, oh, I'm letting all these voices in my head start making decisions for me again. Let me clear house and figure out what I actually want to do, what I actually should be doing. And then I ran up on the idea for the bestseller campaign. And now I'm back in action. I feel like I'm fully back in control. So understanding that I know who I am, I might not be sure how to describe it, but I know who I am and what it feels like when I'm in alignment with myself. Also, another thing that really stuck out to me is Marcus Aurelius' meditation. I recently started diving deep in stoicism and, you know, Marcus Aurelius is like the top of the top when it comes to things like that. And one of the principals, a fellow, this guy named Ryan Holiday, and he talks about the word, I think it's amor fati. It means love everything. So essentially, like when I have bad days, when I have good days, love it. When I fail, I love it. When I succeed, I love it. They do not weigh differently on my scale anymore. And that allows me to keep making progress and knowing who I am and what I feel like when I am being my authentic self is continuing to propel me forward. So that's where I'm at right now.
Come on, Kawan. That was strong. That was strong. And that's what we have to do, guys. We got to get to a place of self-reflected where what you say to me should be a spiritual echo, but it shouldn't be the first time I heard it if it's for me. Too many times without knowing it, we haven't put away childish things. D, what do you mean by that? When I was a child, my mama, my daddy, my aunties, my uncles, they told me what to do. I'm a child. I have to put away childish things. I should go to them and say, this is what I was going to do. Do you see any blind spots? And they love me. If they see some blind spots, they're like, I've never encountered that myself. So I'm not the best, but I know somebody, or let me pray with you. Let me do what I can do. But guys, at some point, you got to move from who you are. And who you are, Mr. Glover just described it, who he was attracted an idea that became a major move for him. So let's not be people who hide behind, well, they told me to. Take some ownership in your process. All right, Mr. Bess, coming your way. Any comments? Any questions?
The only comment I have is that I'm new to this, is number one. Number two, since going through the Q questions when you come in on board. A big thing jumped out to me today was I have never really set goals. Everybody looks at me and goes like, everything comes easy to you. I goes, not really. I just don't believe in wasting time thinking about it. Just get it done, keep it moving so I can go home. I just want to get out of here, you know? I have been with a trainer for the last 3 years, and I have improved on the amount of weights I push, body style, all this different thing has been changing. But I looked at her this morning and I said, we have never really set any goals. And she looked at me and she goes, well, I don't set goals for you because every time I think about setting a goal, you exceed it. We got to change that. We have to change that, because if I have to get naked, as coach would say, I have to be able to, as Mr. Glover said, I have to stop letting other people dictate who I am or what I am and start dictating what I need to be for me. It's not that it's a bad thing, but I just got married 2 weeks ago. It was my second marriage. I was married for 25 years. And the things I want to be able to impart on my new wife is a lot of stuff that I started with a blank slate. I left everything on the first one. It's yours. Keep it. Don't worry about it. It ain't bothering me. I go out and make it again. But my timeline is not as lengthy as I would like it to be. So I have to kind of speed up the process by first understanding I need a coach. And secondly, stop fighting it and get involved with it. So that's in a nutshell for me.
Come on, Mr. Best. Big. Those were big moments. Congratulations. Marriage is super important. And I love that you were able to move on. I know sometimes that could be a struggle, but that was powerful that you shared that. I love how you challenge yourself, because one thing I realized, for example, I joined G-Men to assist Coach Kendall in his work of empowering men. And as I got closer to the work, he said, Bernard, you need a coach. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you need to coach others. I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. And he kept telling me that, Mr. Best. I kept telling him, look, and back then I had a problem. I used to threaten people all the time. So I was like, if you tell me this one more time, and I said some things I'm not proud of, but I did say it. And he said, I don't care. You still need to do it. You need to coach people. And I humbled myself and I said, Bernard, what if you're wrong? And as I went on that journey and I watched people's lives transform, like I only got brothers, y'all. I've been yelling at men my whole life. I have no problem telling a man I love them. I have no problem kissing my brothers on the cheek. I have no problem hugging them. I only got brothers. And as I started to coach, and specifically men, I watched their life accelerate because as we set goals together, and I'm holding them accountable, I'm asking them, hey, did you do the thing you said you would do? You know, are you on track? Are you off track? What can I do to help? What we are as men, we have the ability in any situation to create things that last. And when a man is reminded of that in his marriage, in his money, in his life, he goes into that God mode, that creator mode, and they create things that will last and outlast their lifetime and build a bridge for others coming behind them. But without hearing that consistently, without knowing that consistently, we downplay all that we are, and more importantly, who we are. So working with others through coaching communities, trainers, super important because they help us get beyond our perception of what we can do and face the reality of what we can do and then imagine how far we truly can go. My book of faith is the Bible. And in it, it says something that's challenged me my whole life. It says the creator can do things for you, through you, and with you, way above anything you could ask for or imagine. And most of us, because we're not goal setting, we're not writing things down, because we don't know who we are, we're still living based on our perception, we're not activating or developing our imagination. So what's showing up in our lives looks real mundane, real plain, real normal. This Friday, my wife and I were getting to our 18th year of marriage. We've been together 21 years. And I was sharing with one of my brothers today how at one point in our life, my wife was always like, Bernard, finances is the number one reason for divorce. And I challenged that idea. I said, Latasha, who are you hearing that from? Because at the time, we didn't need a lot of money. We had just finished college. We're just starting our way. But this was this belief driving her. And I said, look, I just don't believe that. And until you show me who the they are, our money will grow. And I just believe that. And consistently, as we've stayed together, as we've done life, and we set new financial goals, our money has consistently grown. Where at some point, we don't even really have to think about money at that level anymore. And that was because we could imagine something and then the creator did far beyond what we could imagine. But we set some targets. We put it down on paper and we let people hold us accountable to make the adjustments that require us to stay on that course.
Looking to sponsor the podcast? Email us at info@bernardbergen.com. Thanks for listening to the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Leave a comment with two things you learned and one challenge to the information. Like and share this episode, and feel free to recommend topics we should cover on the podcast. The Bernard Bergen Podcast is brought to you by BernardBergen.com. Visit for more on human performance insights and results coaching.